Oh, I just ran here from a panel, so I'm still pretty hyped. Still buzzing off a Red Bull.
How did the panel
go? I think it went fine. People laughed. It's really weird doing panels in big, wide rooms because people feel less inclined to laugh. The smaller the space, the more like inviting it feels, and people laugh more. So it's very scary doing a talk to a very quiet audience. That, or I'm just not funny and I'm just looking for excuses. Who knows?
What's it like then? Because obviously when you're doing a YouTube video, if you're looking at a camera or maybe a few other people, what's it like to do it in front of a crowd of thousands, I guess?
It's absolutely bizarre. Like, and I think I've been doing so much vlogging lately that I've kind of really tried to break down the performance element of my work. So I'm just more like myself, which has made it super hard when I get up on a stage, because suddenly you've just put a very normal human on a stage, and like any normal human would, you kind of crumble a bit, and the pressure is very on to be funny, and that's hard. You know, when you're trying to live up to the, well, you know, I have two modes. I have a very scripted version of me, which is, you know, for sketch comedy, but again, that's scripted, and then you have the more real version of me in my vlogs, which is just a big fat depressive mess, and it's like you can't really bring the big fat depressive on stage. So you just have to suddenly try your hand at improvising. I'm not very good at that. Yes. So getting started on YouTube was really just, I just started making videos. I've been wanting to make videos online since I was about like 11 or 12. And this is, you know, before YouTube, on platforms like Newgrounds and stuff. So when YouTube came along, it was just like, oh, here's a website where I can actually upload live action videos and I won't get banned for it. So I just started uploading, and then I really, really just lucked out because, you know, right at the point that YouTube started bringing in their advertising revenue service was when I made my first viral video, Aston Movie 1. And yeah, I just got really, really lucky. And ever since then, I've just been kind of slowly building and growing. Yeah. Oh, I'll rinse that one until my bank account's full. There's been a lot of requests to try and, like, you know, take the series and make it into a game and make it into a book or make it into an actual feature-length movie. And I've just always been like, no, that's just not going to work. Like, it's a tailor-made YouTube, you know, sketch show. We tried making a book, and yeah, like it didn't translate as well as you know I would have liked, but I'm just gonna keep making them until I'm like, this is bad, I need to stop. But as it stands, you know, I still get, you know, kids finding, you know, I made the ninth one last year, and I get kids that see the ninth one, then watch all the rest, and they say that they're all good. You know, and until like I get to a point where there is objectively one that just sucks, I might just keep making them. Yeah.
At the end of the last Edgeworld movie, mm-hmm. I know you stated that this would probably be the last one episode ever, but we did kind of get left off of a cliffhanger.
I think good endings do leave a bit of imagination. I think you want to be able to imagine that the characters are still living on, like that they're in a living, breathing world. You know, if you bring every narrative to a halt, then they kind of just disappear. So you know, with Edgeworld, the end, what we kind of really wanted to do was put it to a point where kind of leave it off at sort of a fresh beginning state. And when we wrote it, that was in our mind, you know, a good ending point for Edgeworld. But you know, there is talk from, you know, Ed's family and that of maybe continuing the show in some form. So they're kind of free to keep it going however they want. You know, I think we left them in a pretty easy situation to continue if they want to.
I mean, you've been doing YouTube for a long time now.
Mm-hmm.
What's the biggest change?
The biggest change on YouTube... Oh yeah, honestly, like I don't know if I can say that there's just one. There's so many. It's YouTube. It never ends. Like there's something different every single time. But yeah, honestly, it does feel like you're kind of struggling to stay afloat on YouTube because they're always changing the platform in one way or another. you know, I've witnessed the death of YouTube 1,000 times when people are like, oh, now it's been bought by Google, it's dead now. That was in 2006. Now they've introduced money, it's dead now. That was in 2008. Oh, they've broken the subscription feed, it's dead now. That was like in 2010. So honestly, the only real thing that's changed for me on YouTube is the faces. You know, they're always cycling, and there's so few people that have been that are still making YouTube videos that were when I started. And you know, they're still, you know, holding some air quote relevance, which is a horrible term. Yeah, it's just a very strange thing. But yeah, just the people, they're the ones that change.
And why do you think the numbers have dwindled?
Numbers dwindle on YouTube because there's been some algorithmic shifts. You know, they kind of have made it so that audience retention and watch time is more focused on now, because you know they've been making change on YouTube behind the scenes for years to try and combat things like view botting and stuff like this. So they've raised the standard of what counts as a view now, something that like Facebook, for example, doesn't do, which is why, you know, you can upload something to Facebook and it has 10 million views but like 20 comments. But why things have changed, I mean, for one thing, there's so much stuff on YouTube. You know, it's such a competitive platform now. You get pretty much algorithmically demoted if you try and send people off channel to anywhere else. So where it used to be, you know, great to recommend your friends, and you know, I used to 6 years ago I could favorite one of my friends' videos and guarantee that they would get a huge boost in subscribers. Now I can't even like at the end of the video go watch their video and help them at all. Like it's maddening in a way. But yeah, there's YouTube has become very isolated. There's that you are encouraged in a way to focus on yourself and keep your audience on your channel. You get rewarded for keeping people moving to the next video and the next video and not leaving your channel and not losing interest. So that's fun.
Do you think that means there's a lack of community, or is there a community?
I think, yeah, there are a couple of ways to have community, and you can have a community within your own audience, and that, you know, involves a full-time social media management of, you know, tweeting and Facebooking and making videos and talking directly to your audience and very regularly uploading. And that's the way you can create a community. That's one way to create a community. And the other one is to have a, you know, team of other YouTubers, you know, see like the Yogscast or the Game Grumps and stuff like that. You know, they've really figured it out. And even like, you know, cliques on YouTube, like the Gleam team. I think if you've got a lot of YouTubers working together as a group very frequently, that helps as well. But by and large, yeah, it's quite isolated in a way. Well, it's worth noting that I myself am not an animator. I actually work with a great team to animate things. But it's so tricky to try and get people to pay for content that they are very used to getting for free. I mean, even I, you know, don't know. If I were just a viewer, I don't know if I would get things like YouTube Red or Vessel or any of them, you know, because this is YouTube content, you know. It's, yeah, like you're so used to getting it for free now, and also the latest generation, the one, you know, millennials and the one after them, we're so used to piracy and stuff as well that the idea of paying for things is kind of so alien. So it's kind of hard to make any of these platforms survive. You know, you see them come and go left, right, and center. You know, Go90, Vessel, oh gosh, there's just too many. Vimeo on demand and yeah, YouTube Red. Like, it'd be amazing if YouTube Red kept going, but I don't know, can you suddenly expect people to start paying for content they're kind of used to getting for free? Because even though, yeah, there is a massive step up in quality from, you know, standard YouTube stuff to YouTube Red stuff, is it enough of a step up that people are willing to pay, you know, the same as, if not more than, things like services like Netflix, which, you know, do have shows like Daredevil and all that stuff. Who knows?
Fandoms seem to be a big part of the YouTube community. What sort of fandoms do you subscribe yourself to, like beat Pokemon, Harry Potter?
Yeah, one of the dangerous things about being a public figure of sorts is spoilers. They come to you. So I have to be very quiet about the things I'm a fan of, because I don't want people to be like, man, I sure hate Tom's videos. You know what would really screw him up? Tweeting the spoiler to everything he likes every day. Because I'm, you know, still, you know, I get, you know, sure, plenty of views on YouTube, but I still have the time to read every single tweet at me, you know. So you could really mess me up. so I stay quite quiet, but Honestly, I do love a lot of animated series. You know, I love the stuff that I myself would like to make, things like Adventure Time, Steven Universe, Gravity Falls, all this stuff. And yeah, I'm a very casual gamer as well. So, but yeah, I kind of just stay very quiet about the things I like, especially the serial thing, you know, things like Game of Thrones and Walking Dead, because I just, people scare me, you know. I've had to start being a pirate, and I didn't want to. I've always waited for things to come out on DVD before watching them, but you can't do that now. There's no chance of it not getting ruined for you. So so we have a system of piracy first, DVD when it becomes available. I'm admitting to a crime in front of like 5 cameras.
We of course do not condone piracy in any way.
Of course not.
We recommend entirely to you buy the official subscription first. We do not recommend you pirate it. Pirating is illegal and wrong in the current UK and US, I believe.
Oh, everywhere, probably.
Everywhere in general. Maybe Sweden.
Who knows?
So the guys from Rooster Teeth yesterday were talking about YouTube compared to traditional media, and they said that they think that YouTube actually can be considered traditional media now. Do you agree with that?
I think that YouTube has, over time, really started to mirror traditional media in the same... Like, I think that YouTube, and maybe just kind of naturally this has just happened, because it's just as an evolution, has really, really mirrored traditional media. You know, suddenly, you look at the things that happen the most in things like television, the cheapest things that they can make a lot of, you know, like sports, beauty, cooking, talent shows, reality TV. These are all the biggest actual, you know, variations of these things are the biggest hitters on YouTube now. You know, instead of talent shows, you've got, you know, musicians. Instead of reality TV, you've got vloggers and daily vloggers. Instead of sports, you've got gaming. So I think you could compare YouTube to that in that way as well. But also, you know, there is, yeah, the financial aspect of it as well, where you've got, you know, entire studios and production houses and investors. Yeah, it really is very similar. But, you know, that was always going to happen. You know, any amazing new medium that comes along eventually gets privatized. Newspapers, radio, you know, it was an inevitability. I'm glad it's still as free as it is, you know.
And how do you feel about those kind of big production companies coming in and producing for YouTube? Because if you think of YouTube in its inception, it's about the people making videos for their friends and stuff. Although that still exists, how do you feel about that kind of almost invasion?
Yeah, I mean, technically, yeah, that element hasn't gone away, but, you know, the platform has become so big, and, you know, you can essentially buy your space on the front page of YouTube, you know, unofficially. That's not like some big conspiracy theory or anything. I mean, it is just, you know, there's so much money floating around on YouTube, so many advertisers and brands and stuff that, you know, YouTube is, as a company, chasing the money. I think it's like, I don't know, there's no point in me even having an opinion on it, because it's going to happen either way. And I could sit around and whinge about change and things being different, but it's just happening. So, you know, I've got to kind of ride the wave or drown in the flood. Yeah, it's a sink or swim situation. So if I don't start S-ing the right D's, I'm boned. I want to keep doing this. I really do. I want to keep making these videos and stuff. So yeah, I'll adapt.
And do you think you'll be able to?
I'm not very pretty, so, you know, no one's wanting to put me on any book covers. But I think so. I think we still have some things to offer. I think, you know, me and my team are genuinely funny, and that holds some weight. You know, there are the odd people that are interested in, you know, commissioning sketch shows or animated series and stuff, and it's just about putting the effort in and really knuckling down and doing that.